the talk radio show. Hey, this is a call-in show. If you have a telephone, you can actually call into the show and be aired live. The number is 888-627-6008. Did you hear that number? 888-627-6008. That's right. And we can only thank the telecommunications companies for allowing this live broadcast to be actually interacted with you if you have a telephone or a telephone or an iPhone or a cell phone. Well, you get the picture. Hey, the big picture is a mosaic. Do you know that? The universe is like a mosaic. That's the whole point of mosaic art, to let you know that there are many facets to the big picture. And when you put them all together, when you connect all the dots, you have the big picture of how it all works together. You know, everything in the universe is connected. I don't care what anybody says. It's a known fact. And though we've been all brainwashed and thinking that there's separation, there is no separation. That's an illusion created by the dark side, the controllers of the human race, the bad ETs, the bad note creatures, as I call them. Note, N-O-T-E, an acronym for not of this earth creatures. That's right. Our world is infested with not of this earth creatures. It's infested like a plague of cockroaches. They're everywhere. They're prying at our minds. They're trying to invade our minds. They're trying to mind control us. What's going on? I talk about it now and then. Many other people talk about it too. The question is, when are the sheeple going to wake up? You know who the sheeple are? Well, you ought to know who the sheeple are. In fact, if you're listening to the show, I'm sure you know a few sheeple out there. Most of the people we know are sheeple. There's only a small percentage of the human race that has actually woken up yet and understand that this is all kind of like almost a dream, an illusion, a fantasy, which reminds me, on YouTube now I have my Subway Fantasy, a rock and roll documentary by Tom Edison. That's me. That is my name. My real name is Tom Edison. Almost like the inventor of the light bulb and many other things. But I'm an inventor of a different kind. I invent solutions. That's right. I categorize myself as a solution wizard because I can invent solutions to small problems from childhood. Now I'm at the point where I can solve any problem. I've got the formulas for solving any problem. That's right. I decided I was going to invent formulas for solving problems, and I did it. And actually, once you have the formulas, the ones I have, all problems are easily solved. Key to solving them, you ask the key questions, and the answers to the key questions lays out the path by which you can solve that problem. It's that easy, well, at least for me it is, and that's why I am a 2020 U.S. presidential candidate. I'm doing it as a write-in candidate. I mean, I'm doing it the hard way, but that's the only safe way to beat the big guys. Because if we look at history, everybody who tries to start short third party gets squashed like a bug, or it gets visited by and third party saying, okay, you've had your fun, now you just back out of the race because we, the Democrats, and we, the Republicans, control the whole game. And that's why I'm running as a write-in candidate, because the Paris to be believed can't be done. I mean, it's a legitimate way to win a presidential election in the United States of America. I don't know if there are such opportunities in other nations, but in America, yes. It is actually possible to win a U.S. presidential election by running as a write-in candidate. It's legitimate. And that's what I'm doing. I claim that everyone, whether you're into politics or not, you ought to take part in the 2020 election and cast your vote in a meaningful way. Because if you cast your vote for a Democrat or Republican, it's just going to be more of the same. And you're going to get guaranteed a logjam in Congress like we have now. This whole thing was a planned device for failure from the beginning. Because when we have only a two-party system, it's either us or them. And history has shown, no matter which party wins the presidential election, it's always a problem, and it's gotten so bad, it's like an overplayed game of tic-tac-toe. All the strategies have been played and replayed, and when both sides know what all the strategies are for a two-party system, nothing gets done. Look at the mess the U.S. Congress is in. I mean, I hate politics myself, but I have to do my share to try to straighten things out, and the only person who can straighten out the U.S. Congress is somebody who's not a member of either party. It should be common sense, because they won't have to worry about their allegiance being to one party or another. And besides that, I'm good at arranging compromises, because I'm good at taking command of a situation. And this is an important thing coming up in 2020, and I am the most qualified person ever to run for president of the United States, because I spent time in my life gathering the information of what's really true and what isn't. And then I put a lot of my information to my book, Connected Dots Theory. Hey, that's where I got the name of the show. It's available everywhere. I tell people all the time, listen, go to BBS Radio, you know, you Google it, BBS Radio, Station 1, Saturday at 10 p.m. That's me, Tom Edison, Connect the Dots. And you click on the name of the show or click on my name and you'll find out all about me and all the things I'm bringing to the table. Plus, just for curiosity, I have one of the most cell phone friendly presidential sites anyone ever put up. You can do it from your cell phone, and everything is nice and big and easy. And there's not that much there, but what's there is quality, real solutions from a real person who has all the knowledge about how to work things out. And that's who I am. I'm the man with the knowledge, the knowingness to walk into the Capitol and take command of the Congress. It's not that difficult when you have the authority that goes with being the President of the United States. So far to date, no one has had the ability to take command of the whole Congress. No one. The closest thing we could have somebody being a real president in charge was probably George Washington. That's before the political party system began to take over. And that's what we have now. We have a government that's basically ruined by the two-party system. We need to change that. We need to change the laws. We have so many stupid laws on the book. In fact, just in case you didn't know, I'm out there on Twitter. I make important statements all the time on Twitter. If you got nothing to do, follow me on Twitter. You know, Tom Edison Prez. That's my hashtag. At Tom Edison. TomEdison Prez. PREZ. And I claim to be the most opinionated person on the face of this planet, and my tweets prove it. It's that cut and dry, really. And I'll tell you one thing. If President Trump knew as much information as I know, there would have never been the Mueller investigation. I could have stopped that in 2 minutes of conversation. I could have put an end to that real fast because I have the knowledge of what needed to be said to stop that. Unfortunately, President Trump does not have that information. I've tweeted on Twitter, but I guess nobody really reads what other people tweet about them. President Trump only responds to famous people or rich people. He doesn't know how to respond to common citizens like myself, you know. I'm not considered in his league, even though I'm a resident of New York City, just like he is, even though he's living in Washington now. But he doesn't know anything about New York City, really, sad to say, because he never really got his feet wet with the common people. You know, born with a silver spoon in his mouth. And that's unfortunate, you know, because that's one of the biggest problems we have in America. We got people elected to positions of authority that are wealthy. And wealthy people really don't know anything about taking care of the common people. They never have, and they never will. In fact, that would be a stipulation. If you're a wealthy person, you can't be the president of the United States, or you shouldn't be allowed to. Same with members of Congress. If you're wealthy, you shouldn't be allowed to run for an office, whatever party you belong to, because bottom line is wealthy people don't know how to take care of the common people. I'm a common man. I am the common man candidate. I spent my life working out there in the general public, and I know how the people are suffering now, the common people. I know all the scams going on, too. I know all the rotten laws that need to be changed, overly oppressive laws. And I put a lot of that commentary into my social political songs, one of which is in my movie, Subway Fantasy, a rock and roll documentary by Tom Edison. You can Google it and you'll get to it like that. But you got to spell the word fantasy like I spell it. PHANTESY. Subway Fantasy, a rock and roll documentary by Tom Edison. It's on YouTube. But just Google in that title, Subway Fantasy, a rock and roll documentary by Tom Edison, and Google will take you there. You got to spell the word and out. Don't use that funny-looking symbol that we sometimes use to represent the word and. You have to spell it out, A-N-D, rock and roll. If you do all that correctly, spell the word fantasy, P-H-A-N-T-E-S-Y, spell the word and, A-N-D, and the whole thing by Tom Edison, Google will take you to it. It's a 29 minute and 39 second movie. It's an entertainment ride. It's better than any documentary ever put together. It's the best documentary of all because it's entertaining and it's not the normal narration type thing. There is no narration in it, actually. It's pure entertainment, full of surprises. But don't take my word for it. View it yourself. You'll be surprised, and you'll say, wow, that was an amazing documentary. And you learn about some of the rock and rollers that were making their contributions to the evolving musical form that we call rock and roll. Performers that got bypassed, they didn't have the big record contract, so you didn't know about them, but they were out there giving great performances, and that's what you'll find in my movie, Subway Fantasy, a rock and roll documentary by Tom Edison. That's me. And my song is in the middle of it. It's called The Common Man, and it talks about all the things we've been subjugated to, that things that need to be changed. Hey, if the people of America want things to be changed, well, they have to do something and put their energies and unite behind somebody, a real leader like myself. Well, so much for that. Hey, this is the Call-In Radio Show, and you can participate and give your two cents on just about anything you want, if it's interesting. You know, don't call up and tell us about what's on sale at the local supermarket. You know, I listen to radio shows too, and I almost died one day because I try to listen to radio shows that have something to say, and some idiot actually calls up one night and talks about, well, hey, there's good sales at ShopRite or something. That's just sweet. And the guy was the DJ hosting the show. He actually went along with that conversation. Well. I don't want anyone calling in my show with stupid nonsense like that. Or I'll have to transfer you over to the deli department, and you'll hear the click. because I'll be delivering you the message you need to hear for calling up and talking about something stupid like what's on sale at the supermarket. This show is about, it's an educational show. It's talking about meaningful things that are affecting the whole human race, and certainly the United States of America and the people in America. Hey, I hear this problem down at the border. Another problem easy to solve by a person like me who knows how to solve problems. Meanwhile, not one person in the U.S. Congress has any real good solutions. Even President Trump, you know, he's doing the best he can, but he himself doesn't have the real solution. In order to implement the real solution, you have to go down there and talk with the people who are doing the manual gathering of the criminals trying to break in, and then give them a detailed plan of how to go about this. There's so many varieties of plans that can be put into play. We could make it into an entertainment show. We could make money off closing off the border. There's so many possibilities, but it takes a mind with ingenuity to come up with those possibilities. And of course, it's sad, but we don't have any people with having any brain power in the U.S. government. I hate to say that, you know, but it's true. I talk about governments without brain power. Because I'm on Twitter, I follow a lot of people over in the British government, the United Kingdom, the UK for short. And this past Friday, they finally got rid of Theresa May. I believe she resigned, finally. Harvard, excuse her, leader. And of course, she was selling her own country down the drain. I guess for bribe money from the European Union. Why else do people sell out their countries? Bribe money, usually. And of course, their parliament, there's a lot of traitors in their parliament accepting bribe money. Hey, we have our own problems here in the U.S. We have 525 representatives in the U.S. Congress, basically, and a large percentage of that 525 are bribe takers. They listen to what the money from the lobbyists tell them to do. They don't listen to what you, the people, want them to do. In fact, they don't even care about that. The only time they even give an inkling about what the general public wants is when it comes time for re-election. And then they go out there and they grandstand and they promise you everything, and then as soon as they get elected, they slam the door in your face and they slam it hard. Because the next 3.5 to 4 years, they're only going to do what the lobbyists with the biggest amounts of money want them to do. That's the way it is, you know? So, in fact, maybe we should make lobbyists illegal. But there's many of the ways to fix this problem. I do a lot of tweets over to the British people, and I tell them you need a referendum-only type government. That would work here in the U.S., too. That turn the politicians into clerks. That's right. Don't allow them to make any decisions. All decisions have to be made via referendum for the general public. You know, we could have a referendum at the end of each month and list on the end if you either yes or no, and let the public decide. And then the only job of the politicians, well, they can put out things for us to vote on, yes or no, and then when we the tally comes in, what the general public voted to be, to accept to be put in the law, then they can write their technical wording of the laws that we, the people, have voted upon. For them, the clerks, I'm not going to call them representatives anymore, I'm going to call them clerks, because that's all they deserve to be. They have no brain power, they have no ideas, they have no solutions, and they have no ethics. But I think they might be able to handle the job of being clerks who allow them to word the law, the laws that we approve, because we can't trust them. That's the problem with republics. You know, today, this show is a lot about, you know, education about politics and the way governments work. Republics don't work anymore. I swear, because people can't be trusted. That's it. But if we take a large amount of people, there's less chance of a few crooks running the whole show. And basically, that's how this world is run, by a small percentage of crooks with a lot of money. And that's not beneficial to the human race. So right now, we have beings from other galaxies, other solar systems. They're all in our solar system, supposedly as a team to try to free the Earth from the controls of the dark side. Supposedly it's going on now. There's a lot of tweeting going on Twitter about this. You know, maybe on Facebook too, but I wouldn't waste my time going on Facebook. But I 2 years ago I decided to go on Twitter mainly because President Trump was on Twitter. It seemed like the in place to be. And there's a lot of representatives of the Galactic Federation, or the Galactic Confederation, or the Galactic Federation of Light. This group of good ETs, or good nerd creatures. That's right, I'll remind you again, that's my acronym to describe creatures, beings, entities that are not of this earth. Not beginning with N, of beginning with O, this beginning with T, and earth beginning with E. Put them all together, N-O-T-E, note.
no creatures. But to the ones who are not of this earth, we the humans are of this earth. And, hey, the animals are of the earth too, I hear. But, you know, there's a lot of possibilities, a lot of things going on this day. A lot of animals that are here were brought from other galaxies and implanted here. A lot of the sea creatures are from other realms of existence, like, you know, multi-dimensional zones, you know, I talk about that now and then. Hey, it's in my book, Connected Dots Theory. I wrote the book to educate the general public because the general public is unaware of the matrix that they've been put in, especially all the young people. They don't understand. They are locked into the cell phone matrix. And to talk about cell phones, there's dangerous, lots of dangerous vibrations. The Greek government proved that cell phones frequencies were dangerous. The Greek government proved this back in the late 1990s. Why weren't we talked about that? They're still trying to pretend it's all safe. And the new 5G's coming out. Oh my God, that's gonna really make everyone sick. We're hearing reports now that they've started a few test cities and stuff like that. And any place they start this thing up, people get sick within days and weeks with real serious health problems like cancer all over their body and stuff like that. Again, here we go. We're in the United States here, you know. Some people love President Trump, but he's an ignorant idiot. He doesn't understand the dangers of, you know, broadcasting 5G frequencies. 92,000 pulsations per second with phased array antennas. You know, human bodies can't handle that, especially if you're right near the towers. They call them the Gwen Towers. They're not actually cell phone towers. That's a lie. They're towers. Those are weapons. And that's what we're going to be subjected to because the New World Order wants to destroy 95% of the people on Earth. And that's their big weapon. The Gwen Towers, GWEN, that's an acronym for something else, but... Hey, you know what? I think there's a caller. Let's see what the caller has to say.
Yes, sir.
What's your name?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
It's Adam. Good.
Oh, Adam. Hey. What's on your mind? What interesting thing do you have to enlighten the world of listeners out there tonight?
Well, you know, first of all, let's connect a little bit. You know, I just hopped on here. It's like telling me to go from 0 to 100 in a fraction of a second. So, first of all, let me say, you know, you got a lot of echo on your voice. I just want to bring that up. I'm not sure if that's intentional.
Yeah, I put
or not.
That on. No.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Well, I want to let you know that I'm doing the show with Minty Fresh Breath. I just brushed my teeth, so I know it's a radio show. But anyhow, so fire away. Ask me a question. Let's do it that way rather than me
listen,
tell you the latest, greatest.
What do you think that, do you have anything important to contribute to the human race that might offset the status quo?
Yes.
Oh, well,
in fact, I think I will. Well, I got a book that's coming out it should be ready next week, all right? And it will be available at my website, dissolvingthedream.com. And in this book, what I do is I lay out the context which we are in, which the humanity as a whole is in, which is factual, by the way. It's not a matter of perspective, as some people would like to believe. It's not you see it one way, I see it my way, everyone has their own truth. There is an underlying basis for the way we have to perceive reality. That's one of the first things we need to embrace here. So I've set out a series of agreements in one of the chapters. It's called Basic Agreements, and that's we have to agree on certain things. One of these agreements is simply that life matters. That's the first agreement. of the 15th. So we have to have a common understanding first if we're going to get anywhere. And you can read the book, and your audience can read the book if they want to know what all those 15 agreements are. But until we actually have a common platform of understanding, we are not going to have any basis for taking action. So,
who's the publisher of the book?
I'm not going through a publisher because it needs to happen soon. We are up against the wall. We got 5G coming out right now. It's rolling out all over the damn globe, and we gotta take action. I'm not going to piss around waiting for a publisher to accept my book. I'm getting it out there into the hands of people that want to read it. So that's the way I'm going about it right now.
Are there going to be physical copies of this book, or people have to go to your site and download it?
Yes, I will have physical copies. It is being formatted for both right now. I'm designing the cover, and it should look very nice when it's done. And I must say, I'm very proud of this book, and it lays out not only the problems that we're going through as a world, but it also lays out what the solutions are too. So,
I heard you say there's 15 points. You want to list them?
Well, I don't have those in front of me right now, but they're very basic kind of agreements. So it starts with life matters, as I said the first one was, and then I can't rattle them all off the top of my head, but the next one is something like life is worth fighting for. So it goes to the next step. One of them is we are not winning the war, basically. I can't remember exactly how I read it, but we are failing to transform the world. That is an admission of fact. Now, there's people that like to frame it that we are winning the battle, and it's like, no. When I go out, I see the same shit that I've always seen. Am I allowed to curse on the show? I'm sorry.
You want. This is BBS okay. Radio. This is the Internet. There are no rules, you know.
Right. How about non-BS radio, right? So we're still seeing the same crap when we go outside. We're seeing the chemtrails. We got a white blanket filth above the skies pretty much all the time. We got like maybe one day of clear blue sky a month right now. When you drive around, I'm sorry, what?
It's bad news, and nobody is doing anything about it.
Not much, no. And to me, the biggest danger we have is frequency. You know, and Tesla's got the famous quote about, if you want to understand the world or the universe, think in terms of frequency, vibration, and energy, right? The frequencies are the big deal that we really got to think about right now, because if we allow this to go much further than it is at this moment, we could really find ourselves in some deep, deep water, because once these start to really impact human health to the point that people are too weak to organize, then we're screwed. So we got to act quickly. And so that's why I'm doing this as fast as I can now. Attempt to mobilize and get out the word that I'm preaching, I guess we can use that term. And, you know, I'm looking for the choir, basically. I'm not looking to gain any converts. I'm looking for people that are already awake. I see this very much like a pyramid, if you want to visualize a pyramid, that we have to find the people at the top of the pyramid that already understand and forget about what the hell the masses are doing. You know, a lot of people are complaining about the masses are doing this, and it's like, well, just forget about them. You know, we got to focus on finding the people that are already awake and seeing what we can do once we get together. And I got a plan, I got a vision exactly what to do. And it might not sound too practical to people if they're used to thinking in a typical kind of way. But that's the problem in my eyes, is that we do think in a typical kind of way, and we really got to radically shift our thinking if we're going to get ourselves out of this mess that we're in. And I'm approaching this from an angle, as far as I know, is very, very unique. I have a much, much different perspective on what we need to do in order to get ourselves out of this situation. And quite frankly, I know it's going to work. And furthermore, I know it's the only way that could possibly work.
What's your idea of a solution, because, you know, we're living in a world, countries have laws, to get the lawmakers to legitimize what you have in mind. What's your idea for getting the lawmakers to listen to good reason?
Well, the only answer as far as that goes, as far as I see, is we have to become more powerful than them first. If we become more powerful than them, then they have to listen. So rather than trying to go through the system, it's like, how do we consolidate power? Now, when you consider that 99% of the world or something like that basically wants the same things, they just want to live a good, decent life, leisure time, they want to contribute, they want to help. Most people want to help. They want to be a contributing member of society. So we got to just take that momentum that we already have, which is that people are generally good, they want to help, they want to live a good life, they want to live in communities, they want to travel, they want to do all the things that we should be able to do in life. So we got to take that momentum, and we just got to appeal to the people and give them a message that they can really relate to. And the way we have to actually consolidate power is through addressing relationships themselves. Now, most people take relationships as a given. So let's say you were to get together and build a doghouse or something with a bunch of people. So you take the fact that you're together and, okay, let's build the doghouse now, instead of actually getting together and say, well, let's actually focus on the relationships themselves. That hardly ever happens. And that's basically what the problem is that we have to focus directly on them if we're going to actually be able to solve this problem. Because anybody that looks deeply at the issue, the core issue that we're facing, it's how we relate to one another. You know, we talk about love all the time, and love is obviously a relational thing. So it has to be through how we relate to one another, and there's no other way we can actually approach this and win this. And if you want to think in terms of what darkness strategy is, it's to divide us, right? Divide and conquer. So we have to look at it the opposite. And you know, we're always talking about unity, but simply getting together and doing whatever does not work. There has to be a specific focus. I always use the word authenticity if I'm going to talk about unity. Unity in authenticity. We got to have that authenticity, and we have to practice being more real and authentic with one another in order to build synergy, because it really is all about synergy. If we can create a lot of synergy, we can do anything.
What's your take on interacting with the universe as a human being? Because the information is out there that everyone is connected to the bigger picture, the higher realms, the faster vibrating realms of existence, and we've just been lied to our whole lives that we're not connected to it. What's your take on that?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a type of what I refer to as like a frequency fence, separating ourselves, our little selves here, from our higher selves, which are still in heaven and are magnificent beyond what we can imagine. So we have basically this broken connection between what we perceive ourselves to be in this world and who we truly are. And who we truly are is intimately connected with God, and it can never be threatened. So the answer, or the question, is how to rekindle this connection. And the way we rekindle that connection is through one another, to start seeing God in one another. And that's something that we hear quite often, but as a practical mystic, we have to ask how to cultivate that relationship with other people such that it becomes mutually supportive, mutually empowering, and it has to be through mutual vulnerability as well. So this is not a time for us to act real tough. It's a time for us to admit our vulnerability and find the strength in that. And seeing that we are all basically in this human condition. Nobody's transcended their pain. Nobody's transcended themselves. All of this Eastern crap, this Eastern mysticism where you're trying to transcend yourself just doesn't work. It's all completely imploded by now. Teachers like Ram Dass are not really relevant too much anymore. and we can thank them for their contributions in the past, but we're completely past that era. We're in a time of salvation right now, and we have to abide by the laws of salvation, which are entirely about relationships and how we relate to one another. That's the gold mine. That's how we reconnect with ourselves. It's how we reconnect with the universe. And you can experience that empirically on any day, because you can just reflect on what happened earlier in the day. You can reflect on who you talked to, who you met, the kinds of experiences you had, even with animals, and your day is basically going to be evaluated based on the quality of a relationship. So it's already obvious to us that that's the case, and so we have to ask ourselves how we're actually going to cultivate more healthy relationships, and that's it. That's simply how we get the job done here. But there's more to it than that. Obviously, there's much more to the context, and I don't have time to go into exactly what is involved with how to cultivate those relationships, but it does take some investment. Obviously, anything that we care about, we have to invest our time and energy in. So simply just saying something, simply just making a proclamation is not enough. We do have to invest time and energy, but the thing is, it's free, and all we need is the willingness to invest our time and energy into one another. And once we really start to do that, then it's going to be the great game changer. Now, obviously, we need great leadership in this, too. We need someone that knows.
What's your take?
Go ahead.
Especially the real young ones, living their lives through their cell phones rather than interacting with other human beings. They look for answers. They look for security through their cell phone.
They haven't good communication
skills.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we shouldn't blame them because they're victims in this, just like everybody else. And it's been designed such that they would become addicted to these things. And obviously, this has been quite successful. Most of the attempts by darkness to manipulate and deceive humanity have been very successful, and with these cell phones, it's no exception. Now, we can use these things to our advantage. We can use the internet to our advantage, but most things are misused, they're abused, and they're used to just further the agenda of darkness. So anytime we want to flip things around, we want to turn the tables, we can start to use these things, we can leverage them to our advantage, and they can no longer be devices of imprisonment, but devices of liberation. So we can leverage them to our advantage. I don't think technology in and of itself is a problem, but it's simply how we use it. But we must use it.
Of course, anything can be used.
And I would actually go further to say that we wouldn't be in a position to liberate the world from darkness if we did not have this technology. So it's very, very important.
Yeah. So what's your, when you say darkness, what would you include in the deep state or the dark controllers? Whom would you identify as those entities being?
It's a good question. I think most of us that have looked into this deeply for a number of years do not see people in human bodies as the ultimate source of this. Certainly at one time, we were kind of pointing the finger at this group or that group, but we should be well beyond that now. Obviously, there's things in the unseen realm which are pulling the strings. And although we may disagree about exactly what that is, that shouldn't stop us from seeing that this is the case, because we see the effects very clearly in the world. But being that it is beyond the scene, we can't fight this directly like how we would wage a battle in the world. What we have to do is we have to create great unity and authenticity, great synergy between us, so that we basically jump to a higher octave of vibration. Once we do that, we get free of these, of the control of this darkness, whatever it is. I put an explanation of what I think it is in the book, but you're going to have to read it because I build up to a case, and it's ineffective if I just told you exactly what it is in just
right now. You have the floor now. You're on worldwide internet radio. If you have some things that you feel strongly about and you want to pinpoint some of these dark sources that are part of the control structure, tell us, you know?
No, it's not that I don't want to share that. It's just that it's more effective if you get there by a progression. You learn one, how things function. Okay, for example, colonies. If we look
tell us whom you think are the dark sides. If you ask me the same question, I'd just ramble on because I know a lot of sources that are aligned with the dark, deep state, et cetera, et cetera. There's many sources.
Well, I would say it's us. I would say it's us. Us people are the dark ones. Us collectively are the dark ones. When you see someone who's in denial about something that's completely obvious, how in the hell is that not one of the dark ones? When you look at a sleeping human being, that to me is the problem. I don't need to look at leaders. I don't
need
mind
control.
I don't need to look into things beyond this reality. For the most part, I can just look at us and see us as the problem. And ultimately, we have to have that view, because if that is not so, how in the hell are we going to solve it? If there is something beyond this reality that is pulling the strings, but ultimately, what I believe that is us. We are multidimensional, and we've been split, and I can offer an explanation, but really all I can do is offer a narrative, because I'm working in this reality, I'm working through this gray matter, which is very limited. And so all I can offer is a narrative, but the question we have to ask is, what is the narrative that is most favorable to our success? And when we wake up, basically we're pulling our energy out of this collective darkness, we're reclaiming it, and we're using it for light. So that's what we really need to focus on, is us, and not get too carried away with these explanations, especially if they cannot be proven, and especially if they do not lead us to practical action.
Well, there is a lot of practicality in relation to confronting and negating the mind control sophistication that's being that people are being subjected to. Are you aware of the sophistication of mind control today?
I have some idea. Yeah, sure. I've looked into just about everything possible, and yes, it's frightening to the degree that the collective is under this deep, deep trance. I mean, even the fact that you can die is such an absurd idea. The idea that you can get sick is completely absurd. The idea that you age is crazier than hell. Yet we believe these things to be normal. That in and of itself is shocking. It's shocking that human beings except death. How in the hell
talk about death? Really, what the reality of the word death represents? It represents the end practical use of the physical body. But a physical body is only 1/5 of what makes up a human being. You know, your consciousness goes back to your true self after your physical body dies here. So that's the truth that needs to be spoken. But death is used as a fear tactic to make people, and it's, we've all been brainwashed and from birth that we should fear death, but that's misinformation used for the purpose of controlling us. You know, but the physical body does have its limitations. A physical body on planet Earth was never designed to last eternally. And that's an important truth that needs to be told. Eternal existence is in a faster vibrating zones of reality, faster vibrating realms, and of course evolving into pure consciousness without a physical form. That's where eternity and eternal life exists. It does. You can't have an eternal life, with the exception of God, existing on planet Earth. It was never designed for that. This is just an excursion for those of us who came here. And I hear, I can't say for certain, but I've heard from many sources that we all volunteered to come here. We chose our parents. We like looked at through a catalog and said, "Yeah, I want to be born with this couple." And the physical beings provide the basic physical shell for us, but our consciousness melds into it, and then other things are overlaid. And that's pretty much the reality. But a physical body on Earth was never intended and never designed to last forever. You know, you want to live eternally. That's the old saying that Jesus said, that if you want to be in the eternal realm, you have to die of this realm. Or so it was intended that the physical body wasn't going to last forever. I mean, it could last a lot longer than we have now, but it won't last forever, you know.
Right. Yeah. But if we do want to get to that heavenly realm,
yeah, then this
we have to liberate ourselves from this force of darkness, which is keeping us imprisoned here. And this place has been designed in order such that it's inescapable. Now, you can argue that some advanced yogis and mystics were able to somehow escape the world over the past centuries by doing very rigorous spiritual practices, and by, like the Jains, who didn't even step on an ant so they wouldn't create any karma. But the reality is that being here in this world, inherently our existence causes other beings pain. That's just the way it's set up. And the only way you can work off that karmic debt is in a world such as this, because you can't work it off in heaven, because heaven is perfect. So the only way you can pay your debts is by coming back here. So it's set up to be a prison that's inescapable. And
yeah, I mean, that's some of it. I mean, there are so many new sources of information coming in nowadays that some are saying that karma is a lie, really. It's a misperception that you don't necessarily, things that happened before, you don't have to necessarily pay the price for it. Maybe it could be set up to be that, but it doesn't have to be, rather.
Right, right. Yeah, we should be open to the idea that, well, for instance, that something can happen to someone and that perhaps they were attacked without having created that.
Yeah,
the need for vengeance. We should be open to that, absolutely. I mean, the way I look at everybody is we should, just like our justice system is supposed to, we should look at everybody and assume innocence. If we don't know what's going on, we should assume innocence. That's the safest way to view people. That's the safest way to view things, to see people suffering unjustly. Because that way you don't get any trouble. You don't get any trouble from judging people wrongly if you adopt that stance that everybody is innocent and all suffering is completely outrageous.
Judge not, and you shall not be judged, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, those are great teachings. If everybody put that into practice, we'd all be better off. Unfortunately,
yes.
Those things are not taught in public school.
Yeah, but you know what? You don't really need to teach these things to kids because they already know them. You know, my cat is a good person without ever needing to speak a word of the English language or any language. So our souls already know all this stuff. They you know, they know the ABCs of spirituality already. So these things don't need to actually be taught to children. They already know, and they just need a good
example. What's your take on
it? It'll be just fine.
Telecommunication, you know. I hear a lot of the more evolved creatures of the universe, beings of the universe, entities of the universe. They telecommunicate with each other, telepathic communication rather than speak. What's your understanding of that?
Well, certainly I think it's the more intuitive and the greater our connection between us comes, a lot more communication can be telepathic. And it's really fun and great when it is. And even like if you watch great comedians interact with one another, there's sort of like a telepathic thing going on. If you really pay attention closely, the way they interact with one another. And we have to keep in mind though that communication is part of the dance of life, and that conversation and the vibration of words and the way we express ourselves is part of the dance. So I think it would be also a little bit boring if we couldn't talk and we just communicated telepathically, because we'd be losing a part of the dance of life. So, yeah, I believe that we can be much more telepathic. And in heaven, when you think about someone else, they immediately think about you at the same time, and bam, you're having a beer somewhere together. That's the way it works. So that is perfect telepathy, but communication is fun. It's part of the dance, and we never want to lose the dance.
I'll agree with you on that. That there's a verbal conversation, a verbal articulation of words adds something beyond just simple telepathic communication. You know,
for sure. For sure.
Humor.
Yep. Yeah.
Listen, give once again how people can get in touch with your material, because we're getting to the end of the show. So briefly do your plug right now, and then
Sure. Time. Okay, so my website is dissolvingthedream.com, and I also have a music website, which is my name, AdamRoseProductions.com. I've got about five albums. Well, not about. There are five albums. I'm working on another album of silly songs, but I got tied up with the book because that was the most important thing. And the book should be out next week, and I highly, highly encourage people to read this book. It's got the most important principles that we need to embrace if we want to escape this, and you better damn well want to escape this. You better be thirsting for the truth. This book is really unique. It's funny. There's a lot of humor in it, and it has a lot to say about the certain minor solutions regarding economics and other things. But it has
Adam Rose,
relationships. Yes.
Got to cut you off now because I got to bring the show to. Feel free to call anytime you want on Saturday night, Sunday morning on the East Coast here.
Thank you,
okay?
Tom. It was a pleasure. I appreciate it. And I will be voting for you for president.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay, I got to go. Have a good night. And back here at BBS Radio, this is Connected Dots Radio Show. Check out this guy, Adam Rose. He has a lot of interesting things and important things to say. But anyhow, as we're coming down to the end of the show, if you listened to the show before, you know that I always end my show with my music. First, you got the, 30-second lead guitar solo from my song, Are You the Party in Kind? All my music's available at the CD Baby Music Store. The link is on my show. You know, go to BBS Radio, Saturday, 10 p.m., Station 1, connect the dots, hit on the name of the show, and you'll get the link to CD Baby Music Store, where I have my two albums. And you can get a 29-second preview of each song, and you can actually download one song at a time. You can't, you know. So you can just download what you want. You don't have to download a whole album. And for pennies. I said, for pennies you can do that. And followed that what I call the most tasteful lead guitar solo of all time at the end of Are You the Party in Kind? I hope you are, because I am the party in kind myself. That's followed by my anthem, I Gotta Be Somebody. Listen to the whole song at the end. If you're good at visualizing, you can hear the horse galloping away. And it could be your anthem too. Gotta be somebody. We all want to be somebody. Okay, Mr. Engineer, I'm going to do the countdown, and then you, the listeners, can get to listen to those beautiful, tasteful bits of original music. I am a singer-songwriter. I write great songs only. Okay, here's the countdown. Tell your friends to call in next week, or tune in next week if you don't feel like calling in. The name of the show is Connect the Dots. This is your host, Tom Edison. Here's the countdown, Mr. Engineer. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Statistic. I don't want to be just a nobody. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. I don't want to be no John Doe. I don't want to grow just to be old. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody, feel alive. Oh, no, I was here and took my stand. Without fear, made it clear to the world my ideas. And all those people that had walked on by now stopped and looked, cause I caught their eye. I don't wanna be nobody's slave. I don't wanna join, join in my grave. Gotta be somebody or I won't be satisfied. Gotta be somebody. Without fear, it is clear to the world my ideas. And all those people that had walked on by now stop to look, cause I caught their eye.